Okay, it's recording.
Hello!
Is that how we're gonna start?
Nah, what were you to say? Like, welcome. No,
are you
free for catch up?
Oh, yeah! And then the intro.
And then the intro.
This is terrible.
I know.
We're very rusty.
It goes to show.
Wow, actually, how did we start?
We'll have to go back and listen.
Nah.
But look, let's be upfront here. I am not going to be editing any of this. It'll be a straight recording of our conversation.
You can spice in transitory music.
Too much effort. And yes, that was kind of also partially the reason why the podcast came to a stall. Mm. It was a lot of effort to edit on my part and add the music. but you know what changed? Like, because I started listening to some other podcasts and they would record for like 2 hours nonstop, and it wasn't that it wasn't digestible. I think it's just as a listener, I can choose when to stop. When I, you know, want to process something or like re-listen to it. So this is my advice to you. If you're, you know, if it's too much information.
If you want an actual successful podcast, don't do what we did.
No, it's okay.
And listen to other people.
Yeah.
Aww.
Anyway, so this is kind of going to be perhaps one of our, I don't want to say it.
No.
The final episode. It's a farewell episode.
Let's go with final.
Final face to face.
Face to face.
Yes, we've got to break the news to everyone.
No, I'm sure everybody doesn't get that. I'm just kidding.
Well, no, you can tell.
Oh, well, listeners. I shall be bidding adieu. Well, I don't. Is that French? I don't know. Bearing farewell to the Sydney life and moving on to an even busier, dirtier city. Woohoo! Yes. Shall we moving to London in I think a month and a half or thereabouts?
Yeah.
The move has been a year and a half in the making. So it feels like slow but also fast now that there's a lot to do.
Yeah. So I think it'd be really nice to in this episode kind of go through that whole process. Like not make you relive it, but just what lessons have you gleaned from that process and then, you know. So we can touch on that later.
If only I had a prepared
on you.
It's okay, life lessons.
But yes, funnily enough, even though as Esther is about to exit the country,
yes, eviction,
I also have a big life change.
Yes,
so kid number two is coming.
Oh, Ollie's
literally like around the same time, I think. Like,
we are literally taking leave at almost the same time.
I think our final day
almost, yeah,
of work, last working day is the same day.
Honestly,
as long as it gets approved on your end.
They keep roping me into it. Stay out of the way. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so it's about a month.
Yeah, about a month. Wow, that is crazy when you say it out loud.
I know. But
yes, congratulations. Ollie gets a little sibling. It's gonna be older big brother,
and the dynamic changes a lot as well when you add like a second kid in. So
I feel like most parents when it comes to their second kid, they're like more blasé.
Well, yes in terms of like a little bit more not relaxed, but you've gone through it before, so you know kind of what to expect.
You know that you haven't killed the first one and you're still alive,
but at the same time there's like other challenges that come in. Like, it's not, like, two parents on one child. It's one-on-one.
Yes. I was telling you that I was listening to this other podcast, and they were, like, they were interviewing these people, like, how many kids are you going to have? They're like, two max, because if you have a third one, you're outnumbered.
Yeah.
Now you're not outnumbered, but, yeah.
So, yep, we'll have to adjust to that for now.
Oh, how exciting.
So this is kind of, like, a big, what am I trying to say? Yeah. Last hurrah for the episode. I think it's just nice to wrap up kind of everything that we've, you know, taught each other and learnt from each other over the course of since we started this podcast.
Which was 2019, I
know.
Think. Wow.
And now it's 2023.
That every time we go to record, we're like, it's been another, like, this is so sporadic. It's nice to, I know you said you hadn't listened back to the old episodes, but like to listen back one day to be like all these moments were captured. Like, I guess that's why people do podcasts or keep diaries or whatever, because.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when we first started, like we didn't know what was going to happen to the world, because it was I don't know which month in 2019.
June?
Yep. Early in the year.
I remember because I was in Korea.
Oh!
And I was releasing it as I was like.
Look at the dedication. Traveling. What happened to that?
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is that is nuts. And okay, I remember the you know, just because I'm reminiscing, I remember the genesis of this idea was in the airport in Melbourne.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah. We came back together.
We did.
And then, we were saying we have such great conversations. Like, other people need to hear it. Oh, that was your intention? I just wanted to spread the word. No, you just wanted to make money.
I'm just kidding. Well, I'd be kidding, but not. Like, you know. If I've just got a payment, I've done that anyway.
There's always the potential. I just...
Yeah. It's okay. It's okay.
I dragged you down.
Sorry. No, no, no. It was it's probably more authentic. We're not worrying about advertisers, but not this thing. But yeah, wow. Yeah. To think we're 4 years... No, it would have been... That would have been the end of 2018.
Beginning of 2019.
5 years ago. That is a long time.
Mm. But you know how you said, like, we didn't know how the world was going to change? Like, I find that all the stuff, you know, because we're quite avid readers, we're like, all this self-improvement stuff, like, I do find that it did help.
Help? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, get us to the point where we are today. And, like, from the beginning of our careers to now you moving on, you know, going up, climbing up the ladder, higher paid salary, but also, like, a more, you know, senior position.
Yes.
And then myself as well, like, we never released the episode, but I did a leadership course, and now my boss... Even though I'm about to go on mat leave, like, he's the most supportive boss because when I get back, he's like, yeah, let's gear you up for, like, a leadership role. I was
your
like, that's amazing.
Position. From being, you know, someone who didn't know what the job title they had to being a BA to being our chief BA.
And even maybe beyond that, we'll see.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. You will make a... excellent people leader. I'm not just saying that because I think there's not enough people leaders in the world that have like intentional about it.
Yeah.
So I feel like you're well primed.
Oh, thank you.
You've
very
been
much.
A people leader of a little person for
oh,
many
and that's
years.
Helped a lot.
Yeah.
But even that, just like all the life experience. That's not so old. But like just all the interactions at work and at church and like friendships and family. Yep. Like it does if you in. I think if you're aware enough to pick up and like adjust your own personal, you know, expectations and actually do the work on yourself. I know that's so cliche to say, but
totally true.
You get
a
lot out of it.
Yeah. And I think you like that's why we bonded and we flocked to each because I think not everybody, you know, goes through that self-reflection. Although I do think that the corporate world tries to make people reflect. Like they have these like purpose workshops and they have these things. Like because I think they've recognized that like people who do that probably are better friends, employers, family members, like, but they've got to force everyone to.
And critical thinking is too.
Yeah, critical thinking is really important. But self awareness is step number one, as we said, you know, time and time again. But yeah. Do you still listen to mini podcasts?
So, okay, yes, let's update on like the recent, you know, information and knowledge exchange that we've been having.
Yes. Okay.
So I did take kind of a long break. And I found myself not listening to podcasts. I think it was kind of like end of last year to kind of the beginning of this year.
Okay.
So about a like, I don't know, 8 month period where
wow,
I just stopped.
Oh, really? And did you ever feel like something was missing or that you were just wanting like,
I think, I'm not really sure what happened. I think it was just a lot business. Going on. Yeah, busyness, like work was really ramping up. I was trying to balance like, you know, being a working mom. Mm.
Which you do admirably.
And I still work full time, although remotely, which is a saving grace. But still, like, it's a lot to, like, balance and, like, church. And also, like, Dixon's work is quite full on as well. So anyway, I stopped kind of listening. But then I think what kick-started it again was, we were moving places, like houses, or not houses, apartments.
Yeah.
And I was going through, like, this huge emotional, like, journey. And I know you can relate because you're about to start moving too.
No.
But... And then I didn't realize that I felt like my mind guard was down, like really down. Like I was allowing a lot of external comments and like what people were saying and like all these expectations, they were kind of, getting to me.
Right.
Whereas it wouldn't, I don't think I would have been that susceptible in the before. So then I started listening, I picked up Oprah Winfrey's book, What Happened to You? That was such a good read.
I also started listening to that.
The it's like trauma related and how things in childhood. I know we always go back to the childhood thing, but like,
so,
so many gems in there because they're, you know, it was written, co-written with the doctor of psychology, I think it is.
Yes.
And then I started listening to Diary of a CEO, Stephen Bartlett.
I have recently started listening.
It's so good. He's an excellent interviewer.
He doesn't speak. As in he lets the guests kind of, you know, expound on whatever they're talking about.
And I asked those poignant questions, like, yeah, at the right time.
Which one did you listen to? The Simon Sinek series.
So. Oh, yeah.
That was, yeah, I'd forgotten how good Simon Sinek is, because I haven't listened to him in a long time, but yeah, no, I love that podcast.
Yeah. And then I sent you one, I think. It was like some random health one. Oh. About, like, like, the types of, like you should be doing a test and seeing, like, what sort of deficiencies you have. Yeah. But anyway, from there, I was like, oh, I just listened to the rest of the, the episodes, and really got me back into listening. And then what else? There's another one that I'm listening to. I need to, like, open my Spotify and check.
Oh, yeah, see what.
All the different podcasts.
I can share a couple that I've only started listening to in the last maybe 6 months. So, yeah, Diary of Sierra would be one.
Yep.
There's a podcast called The School of Greatness, which is quite good, by Lewis. I can't remember his last name, but they kind of all run around the same circle.
Yeah.
Because you listen to one, and then they interview one guy.
Yeah,
and
that's them, how you
and
know.
Kind of just all, yeah. And then I sent you, I don't know if I sent you the link, but I let you know there's one called Squiggly Korea.
Yes.
Which is, that one's like really, I've never really listened to Korea podcasts before, but that's quite
And it's by two ladies as well.
Two ladies who used to be very high flyers in the corporate world. One of them used to work for Microsoft. And then they decided to, one of the founders was like, I realized that I cared more about developing the people in my team than the work that they were doing.
Oh, wow.
So that's why she decided to take the leap and then start her own business.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's another one that's been good.
Okay. That's cool. Should look up. I did listen to one episode of that, and they were talking about the Urgent Important Matrix, which I believe we also covered back in 20.
Stephen Covey, my friend. Yeah.
20 something.
Yeah.
Oh, I just found the last one. On Purpose with Jay Shetty.
Of course. Yeah. Jay Shetty.
I know. Everyone knows Jay Shetty. But you know what? I hadn't actually listened to any of his podcasts. I think it was a recent thing, but I used to follow him on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then a couple of other Facebook things, but yes. The Tom Holland interview he did. I know this is gonna date me, like, but as in, like, tell you what time I listened to. But that was so good. That was so good.
I think once you, like, that's why I found interesting that you stopped listening for a while, because. But I guess other things do take priority. But I like, it's something like when you start, you see the value, and then you kind of the momentum keep going, generally keeps you going.
Yeah,
but
I think that's the key, the momentum. Like. Right. For me, that kind of phased out for a little bit.
And also, I realize I do a lot of listening to podcasts when I'm, like, multitasking, like, when I'm running or when I'm cooking and stuff. But, like, yeah. I mean, if you've got people around, obviously you can.
No, but that's when I listen as well. It was just a period
chores
where,
or, like, cleaning or something.
Oh, okay, true. Yeah. I mean, I used to also listen during work. When I'm doing my work.
Not listening.
not during meetings, but, like, when I'm doing menial BAU tasks.
Yeah. Great multitasking. I mean, that's how you do it.
Nice. Anyway, so that helped during that period where I was quite emotionally drained from
you
all
seem
the...
very okay though. I remember checking in, and then I think you were maybe fixed on the logistics of things, maybe
when I was moving.
Yeah, you didn't seem like that stressed as someone who was moving.
Yeah, I mean, obviously moving is stressful. And yes, logistics is probably one of the biggest stressors. But for me at that time, it was also because we were renting the previous place. Mm-hmm. Have I told you this? I don't know.
Maybe say it first and then I can say it.
So we were renting the first place, and then obviously with interest rates going up, the rent was going to go up too. So then we were considering, should we buy or should we rent?
Right.
And in the end, our decision was, let's continue renting. It just works out better for us at this current stage.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, we also found out we were pregnant, so we were expecting another kid.
Mm.
So, and then... from there ensued, like, okay, well, do we want to maintain, like, the cost of living? And if that's the case, we're going to have to choose to maybe downsize.
Mm, so stay in the same area.
Yeah, not even stay in the same area. Like, everywhere was blowing up. So even if we moved, we'd have to go down to, like, a two-bedder.
Right.
Which didn't seem practical for a family of that.
That's growing in size.
Yeah. So there was that kind of, like, guilt, I think, I felt. Like, you know, before this poor child is even born, like, we're not even able to provide. Like, and I know that people will come back and say, you know, like, this is why you consider having kids and all of that. But, like, there's so many other factors that you, like, people don't really take into account. Like, there's histories of... some people experience, like, infertility, and then there's others that, you know, it's a choice you make to, and I never really understood this, but like, to make your family feel complete. And it's like this intangible weird feeling. That you feel like, you know, you just want to have another kid, you want to add, like, you want to give, in inverted commas, your child like a sibling, but then also like you feel like, yeah, your family can grow. So so anyway, it wasn't that we weren't, you know, able to afford. It was just given the circumstances, I felt that it didn't seem, it just seemed reversed, it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
So there was that guilt component, and there's also like the family comments, like, oh yeah, you should have. Why don't you buy?
This
like,
is the yes.
And the is it Asian mentality, or is it just like the mentality of the older generation where stability is comes in the form of like purchase property, property
like that being you own, an occupier. Yeah.
And we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
That mentality has kind of changed, but like for us at least, because we understand the pressures of owning in this current, you know, market.
Yeah. Those interest rates, man, what a killer.
I know. But like that, yeah, it's difficult when you hear it from someone that's like close to you or like your family. So those were kind of like the two major things that were playing. Mm. But yeah, so after thankfully listening to the podcast, I realized it's a lot of that is internalized. Like it's things that I've been told since I was young that you just can't let go of. But I really had to let go. Mm. And from then on, there's a little like miracle behind how we got our current place as well. Which, by the way, unexpectedly, we didn't even check it out in person. We sent my sister-in-law to check it out. And she was like, yeah, it's fine. And she's got pretty high standards.
Yeah. So I was like, it was like a barometer. Yeah.
And then also, it comes with an EV charger.
That's amazing.
Which we didn't expect. And we had only literally just changed to an electric vehicle.
It's very nice. I can confirm.
So it just it was so convenient. I'm like, you know, yeah.
Is it a new, is it a newer building? Because the EV chargers, they're not in a lot of the old, well, even ones that are like 5 years old wouldn't
I don't think it was, I don't think it's new.
Maybe they retrofitted it. Maybe. That's interesting. Yeah. Oh,
but yeah, I mean, amazing. Like what are the chances?
Yeah. Oh.
So yeah, it, you know, in the end, I figured that you just do what works well for you and like all your family and what you and it's not like we don't have a plan. We have a plan, but it's just, it takes time. So.
And at the end of the day, like, it's your life. It's
Your family. We're going to live it.
Yeah, you're going to live it. For example, you listen to it and you rush to buy a house or whatever. Like, you're the one who's, your family is going to be bearing the consequence of paying off a mortgage. Like, it's.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
So that was my story.
Aww.
And how are you feeling with, like, your imminent move? Like, that was a big decision. Well, not a decision, but, like, what was the process?
I think because it's, in some ways, I've been very frustrated at how slow it is, right? But in other ways, I think having it drawn out over such a long process has given me so much time to, like, process it. But, having said that, like, having that be just a possibility versus it being actually real is quite different. So, like, basically, I got the confirmation that I was actually, I got the offer and everything about a few weeks ago, but I actually interviewed months ago, so it's taken that long for like things to move. But now that
and even before, you said you flagged that.
Oh, I flagged it like last year. But I always knew that was gonna be a future thing, not an immediate thing, because basically our business, the economy is also not great, and so our business didn't do very well last year, relative to how we normally perform. So there was hiring freezes and everything else, and so I, at the beginning of this year, you know, people set resolutions for the year. I didn't want to set a resolution because, to be honest, I find them a bit cheesy. But I did, again, through a podcast, they were kind of setting intentions for the year, and they said set a word for the year. So I don't know if I shared the word that I had with you.
You probably did, but I have to confess, I can't remember.
It's okay. My word was embrace.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, and I told my work friend about this, and now it's kind of become a joke. Every time there's like something like sad or annoying happens, she just sends me the emoji that's like the embrace emoji.
Yeah, yeah.
If she's listening, she'll know who she is. So I remember people asking me like, oh, so like, what does that mean? Like, are you really want to embrace like opportunities overseas or, you know? And I actually said, I was like, if this doesn't happen the way that I want to or plan to, I have to embrace that. And so I was actually genuinely okay with it not being the timing that I wanted, because it had been so long. And so, yeah, I guess when it all kind of worked out, I was like, oh, I guess God's will is for me to go this year. I don't know. Like, but I was wanting to embrace everything in its entirety rather than like trying to dictate it. But yeah, so that's kind of my mental journey. But now it's the logistics of it. Moving across the country is one thing, and then moving across the world out of a place that you live in like independently is a whole other story.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we're marking this moment in time, because hopefully in a few months when I'm there frozen solid, potentially homeless, then it will be okay. But I feel like it's a good opportunity for growth, And I'm like, people, you know, when they found it, like, oh, you must be really excited. Like, I'm so happy, excited yeah. for you. I'm like, yeah, I'm excited, but it's definitely a nervous excitement because, like, and also, I've read some inspirational words of wisdom that are like, if a change isn't big enough, then, sorry, if a change doesn't scare you, then it's not big enough.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So, and also, I was also inspired by something that, a piece of career advice that I was given, and it was, they said, you know, there's like really typical pieces of career advice that you hear like again and again.
Yeah.
But this one I'd never heard of, and I was like, oh, this is really good. So it was never live the same year twice. So I guess that could be career, but that could just be life in general. Because if you're living the same year twice, then you're not really growing or changing. So I'm like, okay, that definitely won't be the same year this next year as it will be this year. But it just like, because I think for so long in COVID and stuff, we felt like we were living the same day again and again. Yeah. But it's like now we have the opportunity to do other things. It's like, don't look back in a year and be like, I did the same thing I did last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's...
But I mean, it takes a lot of bravery to make that decision.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like when I actually decided in my mind that I was going to like flag this with my managers and stuff. And it was like, what was the spark? Like, I've always had this, and you know, like I've always had this general idea. Ever since
you came
going,
here.
It's so bad. Like, I come here, I'm like, I believe. I actually think it was when my best friend at work said that she was going to go. And I was like,
was that when you kind of realized that
it's doable?
Yeah, it's doable, and the future is now closer than you thought it would be.
Yeah, I think if she hadn't gone, I would have always like had the musings would have been there, but I wouldn't have had like an impetus to be like, let me flag to the manager. And I think when I moved to the current company I work to, I knew that was gonna be like an end goal of mine because that's why I moved to such a big company that was global. So I already like it was kind of like I'd taken steps, but like there was no like real spark or impetus. But and then when she said she was going for different reasons because her partner was going, so she decided to move, but I was like, oh yeah, actually it is doable. And now that the COVID is maybe not as scary as it was before and it's doable, I'm like, oh, maybe I should start like putting things in place before I you know, otherwise I won't go probably, like if I just let it kind of lie, you know, in dormant.
So was there anything like that you were listening to in the podcast or like we're reading that really helped you
just hearing, I think I love listening to Diary of CEO and other ones, but they interview like people's life stories as well. Because you're so inspired by like people, like because you don't get access to these people if you don't listen to interviews and podcasts. Like how are you going to know their life? Like unless they write a book about themselves. But like I realized that a lot of people have done a lot scarier and bigger things than I have. And this is like realistically, like because I'm you know, for those who don't know, like I'm essentially getting like a transfer of sorts to. So at least. Like, when you're looking at big changes, it's like, you can't change every aspect all at once because it's too overwhelming.
Yeah.
So at least I'm keeping the company part of it consistent so that there's, like, there's still some culture that I've been exposed to and there's some consistency.
Yeah, yeah.
Source, like, yeah. Otherwise, I feel like it might just be a bit overwhelming.
That reminds me of the Four Doors of Change. Have you heard of that?
Oh, no, but it sounds riveting.
So basically, like when you're going through a very big change, this is probably relevant for me as well. You've got like four different doors. I'll show you visual,
okay,
and then we can like discuss
it. Wow, I love how you just have that pulled up. Here's what I prepared earlier.
I literally, it's on my Instagram because I'm like, this is such a useful tool to understand like when you go through a change. So there's four doors. Two of them are red, two of them are green. And so you kind of, green obviously means you can go through it, red means that you can't. So in the first one, there's things that you could do before and that you can do after.
Okay.
And so that remains status quo. So like what you said, company.
Right, company, yeah.
It's
really just the company. I mean, I guess I didn't explain, but one of the main reasons why I'm going to the UK is because the type of, the function that I'm in within my industry, it lends itself to being the most transferable. Like, because the UK healthcare system is similar in a lot of ways.
Australia.
So that's the other aspect. I hope that the skills I've developed in Australia will be applicable to the UK. But yes.
So then the second door's red, and they are things that, you couldn't do before, but you also can't do after.
Okay. Yeah. Like, I'll never be a salesperson. Not happening.
Yep. So again, that's the status quo.
Yes. Okay.
And then the next two doors are the more interesting ones. So there's another red door. It's things that you could do before, but you can't do after. So I guess that those are the things that you may feel a sense of loss for. So, I mean, doing the podcast.
Yeah. Well, face to face.
Yeah. Face to face. Or like meeting some friends.
And going out in the wintertime. Cycling. In the winter.
I'm sure you can cycle.
Not in the winter.
In London.
I can cycle in London, but maybe not in the winter.
You just have to wear bundle very up. Thick clothing.
I'm going to hate it. Going to hate it.
Please be careful.
I know. I'm trying. I'm aggressive.
And then okay. The fourth door is things you couldn't do before, but now you can do after. So I think these last two doors, most people get stumped, like, when they get to the third door, because that's when they're shut down, because they're like, these are the things that I could do before.
Right,
but now because of this imminent change, I can't do them. So a lot, so when we're doing change, transformation, or like change, you know, all of that stuff in the workplace, but also in your personal life, people will get stuck there. So you've kind of got to work through that and realize that there's a fourth door where where there are things you couldn't do before, but now you can do after. And if you can see that glimmer of hope, that light, like, that's what will, I guess, balance out the negativity of any imminent change.
Is there any, like, what door or process are, like, you know, with your current impending changes?
Interesting question. I haven't even thought about this.
Because I feel like a first child is a good test run for a second child, but I understand the dynamic is differently. Your attention's going to be split.
Yeah. I think that's what most people are worried about, like, when I read online. It's being able to accommodate both kids and give equal, the attention that is required. Because it's a different type of attention. Like, for the older one, it's more like emotional attention, like intellectual attention, that stimulation.
Their role also changes in the family, because they're like, they become not just the baby. Well, I mean, they're a baby, but you know what I mean.
Like, yeah, as in, like, there's someone younger than them.
Yeah, yeah, and who's a little more helpless than them.
Yeah, you know, so it's readjusting to them not, you know, being the center of it.
Yeah, well, that's not a big one.
Yeah. But I think that goes to show, like, how much of it, as a parent, you've set that up for. Like, for us, we've always made sure that the way we teach our kids is to set them up for independence.
Oh,
right, like, that's the whole point.
I have a little independent Ollie.
He can do, like, he's willing to try things by himself, and then if he doesn't get it the first time, we don't shame him or, like, embarrass him or anything. We just give another go, or guide him, or teach him. And, like, I really feel like that has impacted how he then does his own self-talk, and then approaches things that he hasn't done.
You were saying you've heard his self-talk, and it's so cute.
He'll be like, yeah, try again, or like, that's okay, and, like, you know, just reassuring himself, or which is, like, as a parent,
you're nice, like, I've done my job well.
So I think it's just the preparation, and and I'm not saying that I don't know everything, and then, look, it hasn't happened yet, so I don't know. But at least, like, I'm not too worried about the independence part. And obviously the age gap is a lot bigger, so.
Oh, well, that's pretty awesome.
But yeah, no, I don't know. I guess I am looking forward to taking mat leave. And that's kind of funny, because, like, it just so happened that work right now is in a bit of a slump.
Oh, is it?
So
okay.
It's, like,
good timing.
Yeah, like, I love my job. I genuinely love it. It's such a weird thing to say, but
it's okay. You're not psychopathic.
Yeah, at the moment, because they've just done another round of, like, reshuffling of teams. And they're still trying to, like, get this whole company vision thing kicked off.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so there's a bit of, like, the infrastructure behind it is still very, I'm not going to say messy, but it's not well established yet. So,
So you feel like you're in a good spot to kind of.
I'm hoping I'll take some leave. They can sort themselves out. And then I come back. Although, look, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm part of... Oh, sorry.
So are you going for 12 months? Is it 12 months?
Or less than that? I'm not sure yet. Maybe 10, 10 to 12.
So like a decent amount.
But at the same time, like, I feel like because I can see... Because of my role and because of my skill set, I'm very big on process improvement. So I feel like... It's kind of bittersweet. Like, it's annoying that all this hasn't worked itself out yet, or, like, you know, all the processes aren't in place. But I also feel like I get excited at that, the prospect of being able to solve or, like, improve something. Like, you know, just talking to the right people, making sure that people are involved at the right stage, at the right time, and, like, having a visibility and transparency, because at the moment everyone's still in silos, which is accentuated by the fact they're all working from home.
Oh, yeah, that's tough.
But then, on the plus side, I love working from home, so I'm not going to complain.
You're like, I don't want to instigate
so,
any
yeah, change. It's really complex, but you know what? It's fine. If things are still the same when I get back, I'm sure I can do something about that.
Yeah. So is there something, because, you know, coming to the third door, or maybe, let's go fourth door, because it's more positive.
Yeah.
What's something that you think maybe you can't do now that you feel like you can do in the future? Wait, is that the fourth door? Did I get that wrong?
Oh, yeah, no, that's right.
Okay.
In relation to, like...
Just your period just of change, general? Yeah. We can come back to this if you want.
No, but I actually feel... I feel like... I am in a very positive, like, state of mind at the moment.
Yeah, you're about to call late. Woo!
Yeah, well, that it is that. But, I mean, I kind of, like, just having one child and, like, being able to learn just from the one child...
Mm.
I can't imagine what it would be like with two. As in, like, I think I will gain a lot of learning. And because I'm open to that, because I know that I'm not perfect, and I know that I'm not, even though I'm a fully formed adult, like, you learn so much from your kids.
Yeah.
So, like, to be able to learn how to manage sibling conflict or, like, different personalities. Oh, man. Yeah, that's what I hear is, like, quite common. But then, because, like I said earlier, like, the preparation, all the stuff that I do with my kids, I then translate it to work.
I mean, that's great.
You know, yeah. Sometimes there are people at work that kind of act like children. Like toddlers, yeah.
So sad.
I know.
Also very true. I have experienced toddler type behavior as of late, but we don't need to go into that. Yes.
Oh, that was quite upsetting for
Bit
you.
Bit of a tanty. Good old tanty.
But it's so true, right? Like, if they never break out of that, if they don't learn how to do that emotional regulation. Yeah.
That's why I think, like, not to say we're better than other people, but I think people who do the self work, like, you notice a difference. You're like, oh, you really do. You've put in the effort, and like it just makes for a better world.
I know, and that's why, like, actually, when I told my PT that I was reading Oprah's book, he was like, yeah, I really admire that lady because she reads a lot and she's open to learning.
Mm.
Like, that's what makes you rich.
Yeah.
In terms of knowledge. And then, like, the fact that she can then apply it.
Yes.
Like,
and then also disseminate it in a way that's compelling to the viewers or to listeners. Like, to be able to, like, distill it down and add your own human touch to it, I think. I think when we hear people's stories, that's kind of where it connects them. Like, when I listen to, say, Diary CEO or, like, other podcasts, like, I love how they use, like, they talk about principles but then draw upon their own life. Because if it's just principles only and they don't say, like, it doesn't, there's no, like, human connection and you're just like, oh, it's just a theory.
There's no relevance.
No, it's no relevance. But, like we love Brené Brown. But, like, yeah, when she talks about her own kind of, like her own stories of vulnerability, you're like, oh, yeah, like, or shame or whatever it is.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I want. Oh, you're going to make a wonderful mother of two.
Oh, thank you. And also people leader, don't forget.
And people leader, of course.
But how are you going, how are you, like, you know, you're also about to become a people leader? Oh, a team of, like, two?
No, it's a team of 25. I'm not leading 25.
Yeah, oh, okay.
But I will be, for the first time, in a manager role.
Yes.
At this stage, I think, I don't know that I have a direct report straight away.
Yep.
Because, you know, as we know, the team had a bit of a gaping hole in it. but no, I'm excited. I think... Like you, I feel ready, but I'm also grateful that I'm not a people leader straight away because, like, I think, like, talking about the change, like, some things need to stay the same for a period of time, you know, for others. But I'm excited to, like, put what I've learned into practice, like, to see if I can really do it. Because, like, it's one thing to be like, yeah, you got to be more empathetic, but then it's another thing, like, having someone kind of, like, who you really need to be empathetic to.
Yeah.
It's like, even more so than your peers. I think, like, I'm approaching it in the same way that I approach most things in general, I guess, is to be intentional. So, for example, like, I was recommended a book called The First 90 Days, Critical Strategies for Success by Michael Watkins, who used to run courses, actually, for my company.
Okay.
But it talks all about transitioning and how you want to kind of set yourself up for success in that first 90 days. So I'm reading that now because I'm knowing kind of what's ahead. As we've spoken about, a lot of this stuff is probably common sense. But this one actually has action points. And
ooh, okay.
Can you
tell me what
I'm going to have
actions.
To grab the book from under my bed. But, like, it's...
so much for implementation.
Well, it's a lot to absorb at once. That's why I'm bringing it with me.
All right, okay.
But there's, you know, there's conceptual things as well. Like, for example, there's this graph where it talks about every time you enter a new team, there's kind of he calls it like the crossover point or the I think it's the crossover point. But it essentially it's like a graph and it goes like this. It's like when you enter a new team, there's a period of time when you go from your like value taking because you're a new person as the trainee, right? Or whatever.
Yep.
And then there's a point where you cross over to being value adding.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like if you're like a leader or a new leader in particular, like you wanna try and move that crossover point to as early as possible as you can. Because you don't wanna like be value taking for so long that they're like, wait, this person isn't who I am.
I mean, what's the definition of long?
There's some things are intangible, but like the the value taking part, it just sounds a little bit like.
But I mean, that's necessary.
It is. No, that's what he's saying. He's not saying that it's not necessary. It's just like try.
You don't
want to
extend that.
Yeah, try to move that cross of a point as early as possible. So that was like something, you know.
Although, I mean, the time frame of 90 days, I think 3 months is quite a reasonable time to like have that adjustment.
Yeah.
Learn the ropes. You know.
I don't know why it's just 90 days. I think maybe that's just.
Yeah, I think that's roughly how long I took for my most recent job change.
Right, 3 months?
Yeah, it's about 3 months.
Yeah.
And then only then you start to feel quite confident. And
I think if you're not value adding by 3 months, it's probably a bit slow. Like, you've probably taken a bit longer than you need to.
Right.
And it's just like, it's just the mindset, I guess, of what you need to take into a new role. Because it is quite different. Like, and he was also saying, like, isn't it funny how, like, a lot of people fail not necessarily if they've been in a role for ages, because they've obviously got the skills. It's actually when you, that critical point of transition, and yet there's no training on how you transition. You just get thrown into it. So that's why I was like, oh, okay, I'm glad this, like, a colleague basically recommended this book and I was like reading it, and
you gotta train yourself.
I train myself. But I think it's, yeah, it's being intentional about those things. Yeah. Like, because these things, like, yes, you can go through life and you can just figure it out, but I think if you are really intentional, like, and I've deliberately sought out my female, like, my mentor that I met through the Women's in Leadership program that I did last year, and I was kind of seeking her advice, like being very deliberate about asking for specific piece of advice from people who I respect, not just like any Tom, Dick, and Harry on the street. So yeah, that's so yeah, I guess come back to how I feel. I think I'm excited to implement things that I've read and learned, that I can't remember them apparently. It's in the book.
It's all right. When you hit that point where you need to exercise it, it'll come.
And actually, the Squiggly Careers podcast, they, like, this was completely, you know, fortuitous. Like, I didn't know that they knew that guy, but they interviewed him.
Oh, cool.
And one of the founders was like, she's British. She's like, I have fond memories. I'm not going to do accent, actually. Let me take that back. She's like, I have fond memories of reading this book every time I, like, transition to a new role. But she's like, well, every time I do that, I find myself reading the book on a beach, because it's like you've taken a break in between jobs. Just like, every time I think of the book, I think of being relaxed on
the
beach.
You should do that too.
Read on the beach.
Yeah. The beach is like your happy place.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if London has that.
I don't know what other city.
You probably should go down to Brighton or something.
People joke like, oh, I ain't gonna be like, you know, miss the weather. I'm like, yeah, of course I'm gonna miss the weather. Like, no one moves to London for the weather.
Yeah.
But I also really think that experiences and places are what you make of it. Like, yeah. people who move and they're like, oh, this thing isn't like home, or this is so different. Like, you're never going to, like, appreciate things in the
100%,
moment.
100%, yeah.
So that's kind of the mentality that I'm going with. Like, I definitely don't have rose-colored lenses on. Like, I know that nothing is ever perfect, but
yeah.
It's like the, you know, and we spoke about this too, like the tipping point, like when the, when I guess the pain of inaction, it kind of outweighs the fear of change.
Yeah, yeah.
You make that change.
Yeah.
You have to just take it on and embrace.
Yeah. I mean what you just said just then about the experience, right, and the mindset towards that. I think it's applicable short term and long term. Like, just triggered my memory of, because my family just went to the UK as well,
yes,
and parts of Europe, like in April, traveling with a three-year-old.
You did well, man.
But that's the thing, like, obviously traveling with children has a bad reputation, right? Because you picture like the screaming child in the airplane and like, oh,
family.
But you know, we made that decision to travel because we didn't want we didn't want our kids to hold us back or be a reason or an excuse. If anything, you want to travel because you have your kid, like, you want to show them the experiences, you want to like expose them to different things and new environments. And I can literally say, like, even though there were hard parts, obviously, there was the jet lag, there's like the long plane rides, which, by the way, we you know, you just got to be prepared. Sticker books, like, you know, they go.
If I was first, give them some Finnegan and it'll be knocked out.
Okay, we didn't do that. Don't do that. But there were screens. Screens were involved. Okay, and like, you said, to let go a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's up our personal like choice. But but coming back, I can see like the development that has happened in all these brains.
I think Dixon was telling me when we had lunch with a few people, he was like, Ollie will ask, how much is this?
Yeah.
I'm like, Auntie Esther approves. Yeah. She approves.
Like, concepts, yeah, like even like
being fiscally responsible.
I think he now understands the concept of like what the world is like traveling. Aww. Like he understands there's different places yes. that you can go to, and there's different modes of transport, and then you have to wait, and like he understands, I don't know, like you purchase a service on a plane versus service on a train. Like it's just really simple things, but like
you might think because he's so young, he might not remember it, but like I reckon these things. You know, as we talked about childhood, like I think it you know, unconscious is probably in there. Like even if he doesn't necessarily like remember it, you know, for his whole life, like I'm sure that it does inform your development.
Yeah, and I think as a parent, like what you said before about your expectations and about things not being perfect, like that's exactly the attitude that we had, and that was fine. You just roll with it. Like you know, yes, for us it was short term, just travel for like a month, but that's how you cope.
Yeah. That's right. I think as you grow older, you realize, like, you get rid of this idyllic view of how things should, you know, should go, quote unquote. But, like, reality is life is messy. So
just roll with it.
Just roll with it. And, like, people, I don't know, they put certain places or experiences on a pedestal, but it's like nothing is perfect. Like, I think just going into that with that mentality already, like, I know, like, we've spoken about, like, preparing your mindset is one thing, but then actually living and experiencing is another. But I think having the mindset is better than not having a mindset at all of that. So, like, that's already, like, step number one. Is kind of.
I mean, but if you, like, just I was reading some of the notes I took from Oprah's book. Oh, yes. Like, your brain is malleable, so every single event will influence you, whether it's good or bad.
Mm.
So, it's like, what can you take out of what you've just gone through, whether it is good or bad? True. You know, and they had a really interesting... Okay, this is kind of veering off topic, but they were talking about, like... dissociation. I don't know why I've wrote that down. But anyway, there's like two different types. Like, I think that because they were talking about like a trauma.
Mm.
So you go through a trauma, and if it's very bad, like people tend to dissociate. So they'll like shut down or whatever because they don't want to be reminded of that pain. But then, and that's always viewed as like a negative thing.
Mm.
It's like that's an unhealthy. If they're doing things that are harmful, then that's unhealthy. But there's also like. She was saying like a healthy form of dissociation. So that comes in the form of what you said, like reflection and also forward thinking. Because like to be able to think forward or like envision a future, you do have to disassociate from your from current present.
Yeah, agree.
So like what you said before, like reading your book on the beach, like that's totally a healthy form of dissociation. Because like you've got information now, you're reflecting and you're thinking about how you can apply it to the future. Like I just thought it was really interesting that there's always two sides to viewing something, right? You can make a choice to view it negatively or positively. So
I don't know these. Everything we've said is so much easier said than done, but then like being aware of it is like the first. But the thing step. Is,
we've done it.
Yeah,
you've
true,
done it.
True. Yeah, I've that's done true. It. That's true. Yeah, that is. Yeah.
And it's. I don't know. Would you say it was easy, or is it just like over years? Like I don't know. Like this is what I'm trying to get out of this like 5-year podcasting. Do you think it's just practice?
Sorry, you're referring to
to be able to take on this mindset thing.
I think it's one is step one is self-awareness, and then two is like actually like it's almost like you have an out-of-body experience like mindset in general, but like say like the tools and things that we've learned about podcasts or reading and stuff, it's like in the moment you know that like you kind of see yourself like from a third person like this, like you need to apply it. Like it's very odd. I don't know how else. I'm trying to think of like an example that's not outrightly offensive to the person like or situation. But it's like you self-talk, if that makes sense. But then to do that, you kind of have to dissociate from yourself in the moment.
Yeah.
Like for example, like I received a piece of, you know, advice around putting space between your reaction and your action. And I know that like in the moment, sometimes you can say or do things, you know, in haste. But in that moment, I feel myself being like, I know you're angry. I know you let yourself process the emotions, but it's almost like it's like an out-of-body experience. Like I can see myself doing, but then, and then I apply what I know. If that makes sense, because so that's not going to work for all situations.
Yep.
But I think certain situations, like it's like you have to talk yourself as if you're a different person.
Interesting. That's true.
Because I think, you know, as we know, there's the rational side of your brain and the emotional side of your brain. Like the emotional side will always trump the logical side in the moment because it just reacts quicker.
Yeah.
But then when you know all these tools and tricks and stuff, and like you can just even with it's like having a reaction to your reaction.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I view it. And now that I've, unfortunately gone through like a few things that trigger like that big emotional response, like I will be like, wait, let's have a reaction to the reaction. Like, and it does actually help. Like, yeah. Sort of answer your question, but
I think so. Like, I guess, like, going back to what we were saying in the beginning, like, how it's helped us through COVID, how it's helped us through, like, all these moves and stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, it's moving past that self-awareness and now, like, actioning it. Yeah. Which I think can only be done through, like, regular practice.
Yeah, and actually experiencing things where you would have to apply, you know, the mindset. It's like, I don't know, like, growth mindset or whatever. Like, if I wasn't actually moving, like, I mean, I would apply it in other ways, but this is like a real application of it because I
it's like really testing that genuinely.
I may crumble, but I may call you from
but that's there. Okay. I mean, that's part of the human experience, right? Like, I just posted something the other day where it's like your best looks different every day, and that just depends on how you're feeling or all these external factors, but like being able to then balance that with what's going on inside, I think is so powerful. If you can part, and if you can teach that to your kids.
That's maybe still number 4 or 5. Like, once you've learned it yourself, then you pass it on. But like you said, like, kids take on a lot of unconscious things. Like, you don't even necessarily realize, but like, you know, they, like, when you said Ollie has the positive self talk, I was like, oh, that's so cute.
I know.
Like, I don't think I did that when I was scared. I was just like bubbling along.
No, it's so cute.
Oh, but it's been a great season. Well, I don't know what season this is. Season 4 or 5.
It's a bit disjointed, but
it is a bit disjointed. But I feel like we've done a pretty good job with like using these episodes as like not bookends, but like
personal milestones.
Because literally, like, it's been, you know, since before you had Ollie and before you, because changed
and
jobs.
Then you changed jobs.
Job. Now I'm changing. Well, maybe not twice, but I'm changing roles like twice.
And then we both moved. Sold my place, and then you bought a place.
And we've got them all on tape. Wait, we're old. On stream.
On the waves, sound waves of the air. Man, they say, like, you go through so much in your 20s, but you go through way more in your 30s.
Oh, yeah. I think it's that mid-20s to 30s. Like, like, before that, you're kind of, everyone's kind of in the same, like, you're studying or whatever.
Yeah, you diverge as you get older.
You do diverge. And friendships change and priorities change and that's life. But you know, the real ones stick there through thick and thin.
And help you, like, dismantle furniture.
Oh, man, taking my furniture.
Yes.
Like, oh, man. You're living through life day to day, so it doesn't seem, you know, that big. But if you take a moment to reflect and think how much, like, how many,
like,
big
even today, things, we were just like, oh, remember this? Yeah. Remember this? You forget the little moments. Oh, man. Yesterday, one of the kids in the class was like, yeah, I now have a really good, like, a great appreciation for life. Like, I'm more content. Whoa. And I was like, why? And he said, it's because I value, like, the little things.
He's a mature student.
I know.
I was like, wow, I don't think I realized that till I was
I think, well, we were actually talking about, like, existentialism and death. But anyway.
Fantastic.
But that's, like, just that's his topic. Change. I guess, like, it does come with maturity, but also, like, noting that, yeah, life is made up of the small, joyful moments.
Agreed. And it's what you make of it. And it's the people, you know. As much as I'm sad to leave Sydney, it's just the city. It's the people in Sydney that I will miss. It won't be the Harbour Bridge and or the dirty streets. But no, I'm just kidding. Actually, it's not that dirty. London is way
London
worse.
I literally have
rubbish on the street.
I know.
But again, like, I think, like, people can be like, oh, that's gross. Like, why would you ever move there? It's like, well, like, there are
positives.
Yeah, A, you're not moving, so just shush. And B, like, Sydney might not have dirty trash on the street, but there's other things. Like, isn't there? There's nothing. Like, it is what you make of it. Like, I totally think that that's like, yeah. And I know that when I go there, like, that will be the mentality that I carry. And in the tough moments, I'll be like, well, you know, this is what I signed up for.
Oh, okay. Well, may you spread that that message to your new found compatriots.
They might be like, "Was this loud Aussie? She's so shush."
No, I think, like, just like how kids will imitate. Like, I think the people you surround yourself with, you'll influence them.
Yeah.
And the other way around.
And
but,
well, yeah, what if I come back with a horrible accent?
No, please come back with, no. You know, be yourself.
But I also... will try, yeah. I will try, but, yeah, it's, what I think I've done this stepwise, you know, moving firstly across the country and then moving across the world, because maybe if I'd gone across the world first, I would have not survived. I don't know. But
I think you would view life differently.
I think so.
And you would have tackled like the challenges that came. Maybe not so well.
Maybe I just crumbled. That would and may you enjoy being mother of two.
Yes. I think I will.
Yes.
Big learning curve.
Yeah. It's not just that, you know, you're still transitioning in other areas, and when you come back to work you'll be transitioning to a people leader role. Like life is all about
change.
It is about change. Is the only constant. You know why I said like that, but
yeah. Oh, awesome.
But hey, this may be a fail episode, but maybe if we get our stuff together, we will have an international series.
Look, I'm okay with Zoom and Teams. You're the one that's like used to complain.
No, well, that's because we could do it face to face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When we don't have the option, then
Yeah.
And I'm so glad for, you know, the friends that I've made in Sydney, and it's nice to kind of, you know, have friends in different cities. Like, I feel like that's quite a... And yes, you can make friends when you travel there, but, like, there's nothing like living there for a period of time where you've got, like, a little network, and it's like...
Yeah. No, you're going to learn a lot. I think, like, definitely have to catch up so we can hear all the things that you've learned.
Stay tuned for if I am homeless in 3 months or not, or if I absolutely hate the cold. I'm not sure. And I haven't even really spoken about, like... So the nervousness is obviously moving, being so far away from family, being in a new country... potentially being homeless and all that stuff. But it's like, how am I going to adjust to the culture? Like, the people are different. The team is obviously different. Like, yes, I have skill sets that I can transfer across, but I have to learn all about NICE. I have to learn all about their healthcare system. So, like, it's a lot to take on at once.
But just give yourself to think about the time. Don't put the pressure.
And I think it helps that people who have worked across both countries have been reassuring. They're like, if you can work in Australia, you can work anywhere, because as we know...
Yeah, we used to quote, like, the NICE guidelines all the time.
Yeah. Well, apparently, I mean, our system is notoriously difficult to work in. Like, the challenge is very challenging. So I think that's... But, like, I think if I let myself worry about that aspect, I'll just crumble. So I'm just like, let's just take it one step at a time.
Yep.
And maybe not be too worried about, like, that crossover period on the graph being, like, on day one, for example. It's like, it's okay to take...
Exactly.
You know, time. And the other good thing is that the people, because I had to go through a horrific number of rounds of interviews that we won't get into, but I've now met probably at least a third of the team because of the number of interviews I had to go through.
Wow.
If anyone's listening from my company, I apologize. But so like everyone I've met so far has been really lovely.
Wow.
So that helps.
Yeah.
I think because you can't replicate.
Yeah, it's the people.
It is the people.
That wraps it up really nicely.
Oh no, and yourself too. I may not get to meet the little one, but I will one day.
Yes,
I'll bring the crazy auntie energy. Yeah. Don't you worry.
Yep.
Ollie has seen the crazy.
I know the things you do with him.
I remember when I threw the ball up really hard. Yeah.
Almost at the balcony.
Look, I will continue to bring that energy.
Yeah, you do that.
Take him to encourage him to take risks.
No, but that's important. I encourage you to encourage him.
All right. Challenge accepted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's sign out. I don't know how to end this episode. But...
peace out. I mean, we see you in the international series.
See you when we see you.
Yeah.
For a catch up.
For a catch up, always.
Because we're always free.
Apparently so. Bye.
Bye.